Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
All right, it is that time of a Thursday. John Giles is on the line to look back on the week's football. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
Quite a bit to get through this week as well. Have you ever seen anything quite as remarkable as the Chelsea goalkeeper, Kepa, refusing to come off the pitch in the Carabao Cup final?
I've never seen anything like it before, Nathan. It was remarkable in the way it panned out. But I've never been involved in a situation all my time playing or managing where I saw a player, a goalkeeper particularly, not coming off when the manager said he should.
Was there anything that Maurizio Sarri could have done differently in that situation?
Well, I think there is, Nathan. But first of all, I think there was a misunderstanding between him and the goalkeeper and the manager in that he went down with cramp a couple of minutes before the end.
Mm.
And when the thing went, the call came up to go off, I think he thought that the manager was taking him off because he'd had cramp. You know?
Right, yeah.
And not taking him off because he wanted to put the goalkeeper on, who was probably considered better at penalties. So I think there was definitely a misunderstanding on that. But at the same time, I think no matter what the situation is, if your number comes up, then you come off. But I think what should have happened during the week, Nathan, that Caballero was a penalty expert saver. I think he should have told them during the week, if this goes to extra time, I'll be taking you off and putting the Caballero on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that seems to be the great unknown in this, even with everything that's been said about it over the last 3 or 4 days, and the fact that initially I think everyone came out and said it was a misunderstanding, and then there were secondary statements where Kepa's been fined a week's wages and he's admitted he was wrong and should have come off, and he's obviously dropped last night. That did Kepa actually know in advance that this was going to happen and almost have it in his head that, well, if he tries this trick, if he tries this...
No, I honestly believe that those circumstances weren't considered during the week, Nathan. I think had they been considered during the week and he had been aware that no matter what the situation was, he would have to come off for penalties, he would have come off. I think his reaction was, I have cramp, I'm okay, I can continue. So therefore, I don't need to come off. Now, he shouldn't have done that either. He should have come off regardless of the situation. But I think that was the misunderstanding, that he thought that the manager was taking him off because he had cramp and then he wasn't capable of doing it. And he was saying, no, I had cramp, but I'm okay to continue.
It obviously made for a pretty bizarre TV spectacle for those couple of minutes. You couldn't take your eyes off it, particularly when it looks as though Maurizio Sarri was about to storm out of the stadium.
Yeah. Well, he couldn't see. Again, it was a misunderstanding. But the goalkeeper was wrong anyway. But I think the manager in a situation like that, when you're going into a cup final like that, Nathan, there's always a possibility you can go to penalties. Mm. There's always that possibility. So I think he should have made Kepa aware that if we're going to penalties, I'm going to put Caballero on. That wasn't established, obviously wasn't established. So that led to, more so, exaggerated the misunderstanding in the situation. But I honestly believe the goalkeeper thought he was being taken off because he had cramp and then he wouldn't be able to do it. And he was saying to the manager, no, I'm okay, I can continue. Now, I'm not saying he was right, but that's the reason I think that we had all the hullabaloo for in that situation. But I'd never seen it before, ever.
Was there anything the players on the pitch could have done?
I don't think so. I mean, people said to me, well, the captain could have gone out and pushed him off.
Mm.
You know, if the captain went up, I'd say there would have been a fight between them because the misunderstanding was still there as far as the goalkeeper was concerned. But again, he should have gone out. Once his number goes up, then he should have come off. But it was a misunderstanding and he wants to continue. But I would doubt very much if the captain, I mean, the captain might well have gone up and said, look, I think you should go off. But I think the state of mind that the goalkeeper was in, he would have told the captain to clear off. I'm okay.
Mm.
I think he would have got the same reaction. And that could have led to a fight on the pitch anyway, Nathan. it was just a mess, you know?
Yeah.
Consistently over the last few weeks, you've spoken about Chelsea, and every time it feels as though there's been a breaking point and it was all going to just fall apart, they seem to respond with a performance as they did last night. But that incident, do you think that happens in a club and in a dressing room that are all working together? Do you think what happened on Sunday with Kepa refusing to come off was a build-up of the dressing room disharmony, that he felt he was in that position, even with the confusion, to say, no, I don't respect you as a manager, I'm not going to do this?
No, I don't think so, Nathan. Because what was forgotten, because of this particular incident, and it was so different to anything else, that Chelsea in the match, in the 90 minutes and the extra time, played exceptionally well. And I believe that they played better than City on the day and should have just about won the match. So you have to go on what happened in the 90 minutes plus, Nathan, of how they played. If they if that was the scenario that you said there, that could be the scenario, they wouldn't have played as well as they did. You know, the incident after the match was a separate thing altogether. And it certainly, I think it's been confused with the lack of respect for the manager. I don't think that was the case. If there'd been a lack of respect for the manager, there's no way the Chelsea team would have played for the 90 minutes plus the way they played.
We might move
and
on.
And again last night, Nathan.
Yeah.
You know, I know I'm hopping on a little bit last night. But last night they played very, very well against a well-fancied Spurs team. So there was nothing lacking in the actual play in the cup final last week. And there's certainly nothing lacking in lack of respect for the manager last night. So I do think the play and the incident after the match were separate incidents altogether in respect to the manager.
Well, let's talk about Tottenham then, since you brought it up, and the performance last night and the performance and the fallout of what happened after the game against Burnley, and Maurizio Pochettino as incensed and as out of his mind with anger as we've ever seen him. He's usually such a cool, calm and respectful figure towards officials and carries himself very well. What have you made of what's gone on at Spurs over the last 4 days?
Well, I think pressure, first of all, Nathan. I think in all manager situation, you should stay calm, regardless of what's happening on the pitch, particularly when a goal is scored and you see Klopp and people running up and down the touchline. I don't agree with that. I think you should be composed. You should get the players ready for the kickoff and that. And Pochettino, to be fair to him, is usually like that. This was a big match for them where they were getting near the top of the table. And what he was getting on to the referee about was a corner kick that was given against them in the first half, Nathan, that they scored from. That's what he was complaining about, right? Now, that's a manager losing their head, because I think if he keeps his head in that situation, he should organise the players or blame the players, whoever was responsible, for allowing the header to score a goal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's blaming the referee. Well, there's loads of times that a referee gives a corner when it shouldn't be a corner, but it doesn't mean you have to concede the goal from it. So, in other words, when they gave the corner kick away, or the referee gave the corner kick, then it's up to the defenders, regardless of whether it was a corner kick or not, to say, we're going to get this ball away. They didn't. They lost the ball. Now, he is responsible to that as the manager, because somebody wasn't doing their job properly for the corner kick. So instead of concentrating on his own players to say, why did we concede the goal and why we won't do it again? Instead, like, because under pressure, I think, he blames the referee for it. The referee, obviously, made a mistake giving the corner kick when it wasn't, but at the same time, if Spurs cleared that corner kick the way they should, then they wouldn't even be talking about it after the match. So the main thing he should have been talking about was at his own players for losing the goal to the corner kick. And that's usually pressure.
That lack of composure then, and that lack of discipline and losing it, do you think that then fed down to the players into the performance last night? You look particularly at Harry Kane and the headbutt or not against Azpilicueta that he may end up being charged about. Do you think that feeds down to the players?
It can do. Because if the players see a manager behaving the way he'd be, obviously they know how he'd behave himself, he lost the head. Now, one thing in football, you, especially managers, well, players as well, you can't afford to lose your head. No matter what happens, Nathan, you know, you stay on the pitch and you sum it up and you stay as calm as you should do. Now, that's not easy to do. It's a very, very difficult situation as a manager, because there's so much at stake. I think there was so much at stake with Pochettino that he did lose the head. And actually, he apologised in a big way to the referee during after the match. and certainly during the week.
Yeah.
But any manager, it's very difficult to do, keep your head all the time, regardless of what's happening, keep your head. It's a very, very difficult job. And in Pochettino's case, they were making a run, and everybody was talking about Spurs. Well, they could do it, they could still win the league. And that was a dreadful result for them on Saturday at the weekend. So I think he did lose his head. And I think once you lose your head, then you paid the price for it somewhere along the way. And then they're going into the match last night against Chelsea, where it's a big, big game for them, Nathan, as we know, to keep up and about there. And they're beaten again.
Mm.
And it goes through a club. You know, the manager has to lead and lead all the way, whether it be tactics, behaviour, keeping the head, keeping cool. He's the man. And he definitely lost it on Saturday at Burnley. And that certainly doesn't do any good.
It's been a strange sort of roller coaster for Tottenham this season. And even in the way we analyse them, they have these setbacks in games they're expected to win. And it feels as though the lack of investment is coming home to roost. And then they bounce back every time and they pull off these remarkable performances like they did against Dortmund. And we talk about the genius of Pochettino. Yeah. Again, the focus is going to come on to where they go from here. And his comments after that game against Burnley were interesting, where he said, if you want to be a real contender, playing well or not, it's a must win. And went on to say, it's holding us back and it might take 5 years' work, 10 years' work to change that.
There's comments that no need to be made. What good are they doing, Nathan? You know, you go back to the pressure situation. He'd be mad after the match. This is a chance lost to get up there and maybe win the Premiership. And they don't. They lose it. And he didn't play. Then the manager, that's when you need to be cool. Mm. Get in the dressing room. Forget about it, lads. Okay, we learn from it. There's certain things we need to learn from. But he's on about 5 years, 10 years. And what the players read this stuff, Nathan. And they say, well, what's this all about? You know, that's from one match. Last week we were great players and we were a great team and we were going to do this, that and the other. We lose one match. The manager doesn't have to be... going mad over it and going in the papers. What's he saying? It could take another 5 years. It could take another 10 years. The players read this and they say, what's the manager on about? You know, you'd be going into the match last night and you'd be saying, come on now, lads, you're the best team in the world, and giving them confidence. But once you say what you say, you can't take it back. And there's no point in saying it, Nathan. Like, what does it do for the Spurs players? Does it inspire them to be better? No way. Now, he's only running them down, and the players think, oh, God, there's the manager's losing the head now, and it doesn't help. And it might well be that, like, Harry Kane got involved last night, where he doesn't normally do. Because if the manager's saying, well, we've got to do this and we've got to do that, and it's going to take another 5 years, you know, they're doing okay. They were doing okay. Okay, it was a bad result against Burnley. You've got to take that and learn from it, and don't give goals away in corner kicks, and then get prepared for the next match, which comes along very quickly, like it did last night. So the statements he's made, I always think with managers, don't make a statement unless it's going to help. And he made the statements the other day that certainly don't help the Spurs situation at the moment.
Yeah, speaking of managers making statements, Brendan Rodgers made quite a few during his time at Celtic about how at home he felt at the club and how much he loved Celtic, and he enjoyed a huge amount of success at the club, and then an offer came from Leicester City to go, and he couldn't jump at it quick enough. Are you surprised that...
I would think that's a bit harsh on him, Nathan. We don't know the circumstances in which he wanted to leave Celtic. I mean, if you go back to the start of the season, I think there was some controversy about players that he wanted to get in and didn't get them. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So you never know what's happening at the club. I mean, I think Brendan Rodgers might be in a position there where he said, look what I've done for the club. I need the players to strengthen the team, and I'm not being backed, right? If that's the case, then, you know, I don't see my future here. Unless the club go with me, then we're not going any further. And I'll have to take the responsibility for that. That's the way I would be. There's two ways you can read it, Nathan, where, you know, all of a sudden he wants to leave Celtic. Why would he want to leave Celtic? You know, I mean, he might do it for the money, but I don't think he's that type of fella. I think there's something happened in the summer where he wasn't being backed in a way that he needed to be backed to go ahead in the club that he was in. That's the way I would read it. And I don't know anything about it. I'm only like the same as yourself. But I certainly wouldn't look at it as that, oh, Brendan Rodgers has cleared out from them. He's done a miraculous job at Celtic over the last 3 years. Why would he want to leave, Nathan? We'd have to know, why did he want to leave?
Even with all that in mind, and as you say, I think he wanted players brought in, he wanted that their budget would be increased, and it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And it was making it impossible for them certainly to contend in Europe.
Yes.
But they're a couple of months away from potentially completing a treble of trebles. Are you surprised in any way by the timing that he would leave at this stage, particularly when Leicester don't have a huge amount to play for between now and the end of the season?
Well, only he would be able to tell us that, Nathan. I'm only guessing at it, you know. I think his attitude would be, well, you know, I did a terrific job for Celtic for the last 3 years, and it comes to the summer, and for some reason, I'm not being backed in a way that I want to run this club, right? It's a very, very difficult thing to take, that, you know. Like, you could say, well, why did he leave at this stage? But if I'm protecting the manager, if I was saying to you, okay, but why didn't he get what he wanted at the start of the season? You know, look at the job he's done. Give him what he wants, and he go better and better and do better in Europe. And I think that was the case, that he wasn't being backed at that time.
Yeah.
So I don't think the club are being true to him. You know, it's very easy to say, well, he hasn't been true to the club and what he's doing now at leaving at this particular stage. But obviously, there's a case with that. But it could well be that in his head, well, I haven't been treated well by the club at the start of the season when I should have been backed for doing what I've done to the club. So my hands are being tied, so I'm not going to stay here while my hands are being tied.
I don't know if you saw the sign that the Celtic supporters put up last night. It said, "You traded immortality for mediocrity, never a Celt, always a fraud."
Well, that's what you get. That's the passion for the club. I think that's outrageous, to be quite honest. What has he done for the club, Nathan, since he's gone? He's won the treble twice, hasn't he? In Scotland. With Celtic. I mean, what he's done at Celtic has been absolutely brilliant. And to say that he's a traitor and all that, I mean, that's just emotion, obviously. That's people who love the club that much that they're willing to blame anyone. My attitude would be, thank you, Brendan, for doing what you did for us, to be quite honest. I think he's done a miraculous job there. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, is it just the new world order in football that Celtic supporters are going to have to get used to, that whether they like it or not, and maybe Leicester City don't have the European trophies and the history that Celtic do, but right now, economically, they are a far bigger club?
Well, you know, it depends what way you look on it. If you look at it from Brendan's point of view and say, well, look, I went as far as I could with this club. I did what I was brought on to do. I wanted to take it further, and I wasn't allowed to. You can take that stance on Brendan's side. You can take the supporter stance. You've let us down. Look where we are. We're mid-season. The timing is bad. It depends on what side you want to come down on, Nathan. But I can understand the emotion of the supporters that having done what he's done for the club, which is terrific, he's now being blamed for not continuing to do what he has done already, you know?
Yeah.
I expect that from supporters. I mean, supporters love the club, and I can understand that.
Yeah. You won't have seen this because it's just coming out in the last couple of minutes, but Claudio Ranieri has been sacked as manager of Fulham in the last few minutes. Shahid Khan, their owner, says, following our discussion this afternoon, Claudio Ranieri agreed to my decision that a change was the best interest for everyone. No surprise to me, Claudio was a perfect gentleman as always. Claudio's tenure at Fulham didn't produce the outcome we anticipated and needed when I appointed him as manager back in November, but he assured me he's not solely to blame for the position we are in today. He walked into a difficult situation inheriting a side that gained only 1 point in the prior 8 matches. The word seems to be that Scott Parker is going to take over as manager until the end of the season. They're 10 points from safety. Was there anything Ranieri could have done when he came in, or was it just a summer of bad purchases that has come back to haunt them throughout this season?
Well, I don't think he could have done much, Nathan. He took over a sinking ship, there's no doubt about it. But you'd have to go back again to the start of the season. Would they have not been better off sticking with the manager who got them there? Couldn't have done worse, Nathan. Couldn't have done worse than they've done.
No.
You know, he was the lad that, hopefully brought the players in. He did a big, big job for them last year. Anytime I saw Fulham playing last year when they're going for promotion, were absolutely brilliant. So they might have been impatient, not given the first lad a chance to continue. It was very early on in the season when he went, Nathan, you know. And clubs have recovered at that time. I mean, they've got Ranieri in, who hasn't, you know, he's in a very difficult position. But they certainly couldn't have been any worse off with the original manager than they are at the moment.
We'll come back to that, I'm sure, and Fulham's problems over the coming weeks. We must mention, though, the title race and Liverpool and Manchester City. Liverpool went to Old Trafford. An injury plagued Manchester United on Sunday and never really tested David De Gea in the United goal. But then they go back to Anfield last night and crush Watford by 5-0. Firstly, that United game, their performance at Old Trafford. What went wrong for them that day?
Well, they didn't play well. Obviously, that's the starting point. Now, they didn't play well. You know, United, to be fair to them, defended extremely well. You know, and it was a really good performance from Manchester United because we had Rashford up front, you know, who was also injured. There was three substitutions in the second half. But I do have to laugh at, well, not laugh too much, when Klopp said after the match, he said it was the three substitutions upset our rhythm in the first half.
Yeah.
In other words, what should have been a plus for them was actually a minus. You know, three of the best players sent off, that went off, substituted at halftime, had to be through injury, Nathan. That was an opportunity, in my opinion, for Liverpool to take advantage of the situation, and they didn't do that. I don't think they had a shot in goals, actually, in the 90 minutes. So it was a poor performance for them, and you know, I would say on the day, it was definitely 2 points dropped because they didn't play well and didn't take advantage of the injury situation by United.
He changed things last night in force because Roberto Firmino was injured and Sadio Mane played down the middle, Origi came in and played down the left. I was just wondering, in the game against United though, because they took Mo Salah off with 10-12 minutes remaining and Luke Shaw had one of his better games for United, had Salah in his pocket. In a position like that, as a manager, is that generally what you do? You just take the player off? Because I was wondering at the time, could he not have switched Salah to the other wing for 10 minutes or played him through the middle for 10 minutes just to try something different?
Well, I didn't think it was good management by Klopp at the weekend, Nathan, to be quite honest. I would never take Salah off. There was, what was it, got 15 minutes to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Okay, I would agree with you there. I would switch him to a different position. But you'd have to say in a match that Origi was the other lad that came on, wasn't he, for him?
Yeah.
Right? Well, I'd back Salah over 15 minutes in any match to score, to have a better chance of scoring than Origi. Okay, he wasn't playing well, Salah, but he's always capable of scoring a goal. If you switch him to another position, as you say, away from Luke Shaw and put him on, I think that was a wing and a prayer thing. Get on there, get Salah off. And from a morale point of his situation, it's not good for Salah, Nathan. No player likes to be substituted. And Salah, you could see his face coming off, and Henderson, for that matter, they weren't very pleased about it. But Salah's thinking, I'm a scorer, I'm a great goal scorer, I'm scoring loads and loads of goals. It's 15 minutes ago, I'm not playing well, and I'm off. You know, I don't think it was good. I would have left Salah on, as you say, switch him to the other part of the pitch. But he's always liable to get your goal. I mean, he could be having a poor game, as a lot of strikers do. After 75 minutes, and still be able to have that genius to be able to score a goal in the last 50 minutes. I mean, let's put it this way: if I was putting a bet on the last 15 minutes, despite what was going on between Salah's Gordon and Origi's Gordon, I'd have it on Salah.
Yeah,
I thought it was a bit of a panic situation. That
just hoping that something might work.
Yeah, like get on there and see what's happened.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Salah's coming off. He's not happy about it at all, I'm sure.
Yeah.
No way.
Liverpool, obviously, then last night, they bounce back. They get that 5-0 win, so a good confidence boost ahead of the Merseyside derby. On Sadio Mane, because we rarely talk about him, we talk about the brilliance of Salah, or probably the work rate of Roberto Firmino, of that front three. How do you rate Sadio Mane?
Well, again, he's a goal scorer, Nathan. You know, he scored two last night, didn't he, I think, early on. I mean, now we've got a kick of the ball against Manchester United. At the weekend, you have to live with these guys, you know, especially goal scorers. You know, and they've got, well, where Firmino is injured. But when you get the three, they're all capable of scoring goals, Nathan. But again, like all goal scorers, they're dependent on the supply that they get.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, it wasn't as if Salah missed chances. You know, Sané didn't miss chances at the weekend. They didn't make any chances. So that's the way it works. But they're great goal scorers. Sané comes back the other night. Every game is different, you know, and they win 5-0 against what was considered on paper, I thought, to be a very awkward match for them against Watford. And they kill them. You know, that's the way it works. But I just think on Saturday, it was a missed opportunity overall to get the extra 2 points. But there again, they recovered and came back last night. But goal scorers, you have to live with... You just have to live with them. You know, Salah could be off for 75 minutes and finish up scoring two goals at the end. That's the way it works. But I certainly wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't have subbed them. But they bounce back again. That's the way they are, and that's what happens in in the Premiership, every match is different and you just got to take it as it comes along.
And in a way, it's not fair to compare them to Manchester City in terms of squad depth because of what City have available to them. And watching them last night when things weren't going wrong for Riyad Mahrez, a former player of the year, they're able to bring Bernardo Silva and Raheem Sterling off the bench and change the game. I was just wondering, though, before we wrap up, on Klopp as a sort of in-game manager and his ability to read a situation. When you talk about Manchester United losing the three players, they were already without Matic. Suddenly they find themselves with McTominay and Pereira in the middle of midfield. Has he the ability to react in those? Have you seen that he has the ability to react in those situations when things change in the game to properly take advantage of them?
You might be talking about Klopp.
Klopp.
Well, Ned, I think Klopp has done a great job for Liverpool, there's no doubt about that. But when he first came to the club or after the season or so, my attitude to Klopp was, he's a one-trick pony with a great trick. And I still think that. I still think that. I think tactically and all that thing, I don't think he's into the tactics and this. I think it's all go, go, go. You know, against Manchester United, there was no go. But to be fair to Manchester United defended very, very well.
Yeah, sure.
But then you come 3 days later and it is go, go, go. That's what, you know, like, I think he's done a great job doing what he's doing for Liverpool, but I don't think he's a tactical individual. I think he is, this is what we do, and this is what we intend to do.
Yeah.
And he sticks by, and he has the courage to stick by that.
Energy and enthusiasm.
Sometimes it's right,
and
sometimes
emotion,
it's not so right.
All right, John, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Nathan.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.